I've been real pleased with all of the teaching that's been going on. Now, this millennial reign, I've gone over this, and in the scripture here is so real. If you will study that, you will understand the millennial reign. And how many feel like you understand the millennial reign? Raise your hand. Not a lot of you raised your hand. So I'm going to work it tonight, see if I can help. Because I know for a while I didn't understand it either, and I got to digging, and I have to have help. And you can always, I suggest to you that when you study Bible prophecy, get a prophecy Bible that has the notes in it. And I have this from Grant Jeffries, and that's my favorite. But only thing about it, all of his writings are in King James. So I have to read the King James because I'm going to be reading some of his footnotes. And if you need something like that, it's important to have. Because, you know, have you ever tried to study Bible prophecy and then you've got a book here and you've got a book there and you've got to go get another book and you're studying it all over the place? Well, you don't have to do that so much. It's just that you can compare with other writers, and he's very good. He's very, very good. In Grant Jeffries' book, Heaven, he says one of the reasons for the lack of holiness, and I mean really holiness, not how you look, holiness in Christianity today is because we have lost sight of our inheritance in heaven. And I believe that's very, very true. Last week we talked about the Bema Judgment. How many feel like you understand what the Bema Judgment is now? You understand it? Did you understand it? I tried to get it across because a long time I didn't understand it either. Now, Chuck Missler is very good too. Has quoted from his writing, the Harpazio, is that the way you pronounce it, Juana Fe? Which is commonly called the Rapture. And is undoubtedly the most preposterous doctrine of biblical Christianity. The only thing it has going for it is that it is an event clearly indicated in the text. And I thought, let me say that again, I thought that was so well said. He said, the rapture is undoubtedly the most preposterous doctrine of biblical Christianity. The only thing it has going for it is that it is in the event clearly indicated in the text. And because, you know, to tell people about the rapture of the church, I know for a long time I used to hear someone preach on something, and I thought, well, you know, that's not lining up. And it really wasn't lining up, so I started studying it myself. And I realized after I did a study on my own, I believed in it more than I did before I started. The rapture of the church is going to take place. It could happen anytime now. We don't know when it's going to happen, but I sure want to go up in the rapture of the church and miss out on some of these things that's going on this earth. It's going to be hard for me to read and hold this mic. I need a mic stand, I guess. Anyway, we're going to start tonight with what the scriptures say in Zechariah 14, 1 through 5. Zechariah 14, 1 through 5. And if you have these papers, we have questions there. We want to read this. In the day, I think she's got it on the PowerPoint there. In the day, saith the Lord, I will assemble all that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. And I will make her that halted remnant, and her that was cast far off strong nations, and the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth forevermore. For thou, O tower of the flock and stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee will I come, and even the first dominion. The kingdom will come to the daughter of Jerusalem. And now that was I did not read the right scriptures there. I meant to read, but that was good. That was the Lord reigns in Zion. All right, the coming and law and peace. 4:1-5. And you know what? I might get out of Micah into Zechariah. Okay, there we go. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and the spoils shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. We're seeing that now. And the city shall be taken, and the house rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity. And the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Zion, of Olive, and which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave to the in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it move toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountain, for the valley of the mountains will reach into Azel. Yea, ye that flee like as we fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with him. All right. Now then, in this, the day of the Lord mentioned in here, what is that talking about? What is the day of the Lord? Okay, is this talking about the rapture of the church or the second coming of Jesus? Huh? Second coming of Jesus. This is what this is talking about. All right, who will go against these nations that are coming against Israel? What did it say there in the scripture? All the saints are coming with him when he comes down to rule and reign at the time of the great tribulation that's going on. We've heard so much about all the bad things that are going to be happening. Believe me, folks, we haven't seen anything yet of what's going to happen. But also in the scripture, it tells that the Gentile empires that will rule the world prior to the Messiah's return, that's in Daniel 7:8, if you want to write that down. Though there would be many nations who would challenge one another for supremacy, only 4 Gentile empires would successfully govern the world during the centuries of human history. The 4th empire, Rome, would be revived as a 10-nation confederacy under the control of the Antichrist. He's going to be under the control. And what's going to happen? This evil world empire will gain its power and supremacy from Satan. It will be from Satan. Only Jesus Christ as a conquering Messiah returning and establishing his millennial kingdom of righteousness and peace will destroy the enemy of God. God will then establish Jerusalem. And Isaiah 9:7, of the increase, and you know this scripture, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice. From henceforth forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Now, we've used that scripture so much at the time of Christmas. But it's talking about when Christ is going to rule and reign in the millennial kingdom. Now then, the importance of knowing about the millennial kingdom is from the moment God made his first covenant with Abraham, God committed himself to establish a theocratic kingdom in which humanity would ultimately enjoy the restoration of the peace and righteousness. Adam and Eve lost in the garden. The church, this is why I wanted to go through the amillennialism last week. The church has often lost sight of God's commitment to establish such a kingdom and has often set out to change and rule the world on its own. I will repeat that. It's often set out to change and rule the world on its own. Not God. It's the church. The church. And yet the Bible clearly promises that God's kingdom will come on earth and will be ruled by whom? Jesus Christ. Okay. You would be surprised to talk to different people, probably here in this town, to find out they don't believe that Jesus Christ will rule and reign, that the church will rule and reign, or whom man will do it in himself. And this is becoming more prevalent all the time. It's all the time. You would be surprised when you talk to people about this, how they feel about this. And I told you last week a lot of those things, and I'm not going to repeat it. Okay. We know that the evil world empire will gain its power and supremacy from Satan. And only Jesus Christ is a conquering Messiah returning from heaven with his mighty army will destroy the enemy of God. Christ will then set up his millennial kingdom of righteousness that we went over before and we read that scripture. Now, when Christ comes to establish his kingdom, he will descend to earth on Mount Olive. Zechariah, we just read that, Zechariah 14:4, and it was 1 through 5 we read. Opposite the Temple Mount, how many are familiar with that? Opposite the Temple Mount, a great earthquake will split the earth from the Mediterranean through the Mount of Olives. You remember what all happened at the Mount of Olives? Name some things. What's happened there before? Huh? I can't hear you. He went up from there, didn't he? And also, a lot of things went on there that were very important in the gospel. But anyway, through Mount of Olives to the Dead Sea, Ezekiel adds that the Messiah will enter the temple through the eastern gate. And Ezekiel 43:2, 2, and then 4 and 5. And behold, the glory of God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect is toward the east. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Okay, and then we can go on into this. This gate would be sealed to preserve it for the coming Messiah. That's what it was sealed for. And for the coming Messiah and Prince. Ezekiel 42, 44, 2 and 3. Now let's see, Ezekiel 43, 2 and 4, 44, 2 and 3. See if I got it. Right here it is. And the Lord said unto me, this gate shall be shut, it shall not be opened, and no man shall enter it by because of the Lord, the God of Israel, hath entered in by it. That's his job to do. Therefore it shall be shut. It is the prince, he shall sit in it to eat bread before the Lord. He shall enter by the way of the porch of that gate and shall go out by the way of the same. Now, the reason, you'll have to read more of that chapter to find out where you're coming from and going, but that's where Jesus is going to come in when he comes back for the millennial reign. All right, so opposite the Temple Mount, a great earthquake will split the earth from the Mediterranean through the Mount of Olives to the Dead Sea. And we just went over that. True to Ezekiel's prophecy, but we just read, this eastern gate to the temple has been shut now for centuries. How many remember the old song? I was trying to find it and see if it was written right. I am in the just inside the eastern gate over there. Remember that old song? I couldn't find it anywhere, but I don't know how scriptural it is. But anyway, true to Ezekiel's prophecy, this eastern gate to the temple has been shut now for many centuries, sealed by the Muslims. When they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem 400 years ago, accumulated rubble and Muslim graveyard now occupy the area that will be used to the eastern gate to the temple. The Muslims believe that walking through a graveyard would defile a priest or holy man. Therefore, the placement of a cemetery in such a strategic place would prevent the Messiah fulfilling Ezekiel's prophecy. What the Muslims failed to recognize by their attempt to prevent the Messiah's entry into the temple is that God's plans are beyond understanding and his power beyond human control. Scripture records that the Messiah will enter the temple through the eastern gate, and this prophecy will be fulfilled. And so we can look for that now while we're looking for things to be coming in eternity. Some people suppose that the end of the millennial would also signal the end of the kingdom of Christ. Yet the Bible teaches that Christ's kingdom is an eternal kingdom that will be established with just judgment and justice from hence forevermore. Isaiah 9:7. And we read that while ago, of the increase of the government of peace, there shall be no end. No end, folks. No end to this is what's going to be happening. And you got to realize when Jesus is coming in this eastern gate and he's coming back with the saints with him, all of these terrible things are going on in the earth. The great tribulation is going on. And it's horrible. It's horrible what's going on. And it looks like that when Jesus comes back to rule and reign, that he probably is going to do all of his work through changes in the land and all that sort of stuff to get his job done. I don't know. And none of us know. Remember when I said when someone tells you that it has to be this way, turn them off because nobody knows for sure. And that's what my husband always said. Now, Satan was given power to rule over this world. He became the god of this world. That's 2 Corinthians 4:4, and I'm not going to turn that, but you can write it down. And a curse was placed on its inhabitants and on the ground. However, in the millennial kingdom of Christ, the righteousness and justice of God will finally be restored. Can you imagine that? Any sin will be dealt with judicially by Christ as he rules with the rod of iron. We're going to go back to that scripture in a minute. That's Revelation 12:5. And so we're going to go on into the second one, Matthew 24. I think I'm through with that. I might have to pick it up again. Matthew 24:27-31. Okay, we've heard a lot of people preach on the 24th chapter of Matthew. And most of the time when I've heard preachers preach on it, they preach that it's about the rapture of the church. But it's not all pertaining to that. You got to realize Matthew 24 was written before the church, and Jesus Christ was talking here, and the church had not been born yet. So 24:27-31. I'm going to start with 24. And it talks about, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is here, and in the desert," and we all know that scripture, "don't go forth, because he is in the secret chamber, believe it not. For out as a lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even into the west, so shall also the coming of Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will be eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation, it's talking about the tribulation happening, of those days shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. And it goes on to say that. And we're going down to the 30th. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet. Now see, this is not talking about the rapture of the church. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of earth to the other. Now then, I'm going to read the footnotes of Grant Jeffries in this, because I could never say it like he does. They're talking about this prophecy may refer to the temple, to the terrible aftermath of Armageddon. I want to be on a positive note tonight, because we know all that bad stuff's going to happen during the Great Tribulation. But in verse 31, it talks about when Christ comes, he will send his angels to gather the elect. Now, I've heard several people talk from what they thought the elect were. I think Grant Jeffries probably makes more sense from what I've heard. From all over the world, these elect ones are the saints who come to faith in Christ during the terrible persecution of the tribulation. Okay? This gathering of the elect is a different event from the translation of the saints described by Paul, 1 Corinthians 15:51. Note that the angels gather these elect, while the rapture that Paul describes indicates that the saints will rise in the resurrection bodies to meet Christ in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. Also note that the gathering in Matthew 24:31 does not mention any change in anyone's physical being bodies, but the transformation to a resurrected body occurs at the rapture of the church prior to the tribulation. The purposes of these two gatherings are different too. Christ will gather the elect to protect the tribulation saints. People are going to be saved during that time. And from the wrath of God that is about to be poured out from heaven upon unrepentant sinners. The purpose of the rapture is to clothe the Christian saints, living and departed, with a glorious resurrection body like the body Jesus had when he rose from the dead. So in other words, the Christians that went up in the rapture of the church, that's why the beam of judgment is so important for you to do things and be rewarded, because you have done it where you'll be able to enjoy the things that God sets you out to do during this time. Now then, in Matthew 24:27-31, is this talking about the rapture of the church or the second coming of Christ? Second coming of Christ. And so that's what that's talking about. And the elect, I always had that pertain as the Jews, but I don't think it's just Jews. I don't know. The Lord will have to take care of all that. Okay? Now, who will recognize Jesus when he comes in the air? Right, every eye shall see him and behold him. All right. Revelation 19:11-14-15. We want to turn to that. Most of what I'm saying now will talk to about what we're going to gain down here on earth. We're going to have heaven on earth, folks. You've been looking for heaven on earth? We're going to have it, because Christ is ruling and reigning. And I can't imagine what it's going to be like. We're going to turn to Revelation 19:11-14. Should have had someone else read this. 19:11-14. And I saw heaven opened, And behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in the righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written on it that no man could knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dripped in the blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon the white horses, clothed in fine and white and clean. Now, who were these people that were following Christ on these white horses? Huh? Saints. Well, and people that were raptured in the church, too, and other saints that are coming with him. And out of his mouth was a sharp sword, with he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fiercest and wrath of the Almighty God. All right, now here it brings out the fact that there's a talking about the second coming of the Lord. And we see that he's going to come against nations. He's going to come and, oh boy, that's going to be great, isn't it? Can you imagine all these nations that are so against God and all? And here he's going to come against, and we're going to be with him. We're going to be with him. You know, Jesus, how he went through all he went through when he went to Calvary, and how they bullied him around and all. They're not going to bully him around anymore. Praise the Lord. And we're going to be with him. Praise the Lord. And he's going to rule with a rod of iron. Revelation 21 through 6. I'm not going to turn to that because it's getting late. But it tells us here, what happens to the devil in these scriptures? Yeah, he's going to be bound up. Praise God. All right. According to Ezekiel 37, 21 through 22, and these, and Zechariah, look up those scriptures that are there. You see them right there. What is to happen to Israel during this time? Can someone tell me? I think I have it marked here. He's gonna be the ruler of all mankind during this time. And now we went over this. Why do you think it's so important to know about the salvation of Israel as a nation? Why do you think that's it's so much in the Bible? Why do you think that is so important? Also, it fulfills prophecy. Now, see, this is what the world is trying to do, pull away from Israel and this little nation that's having all this trouble, which... You realize every nation in the world is almost against Israel? And man, what can they do? They're just a little bitty country over there. And anyway, it means that the devil does not want it to happen, because if he can control Israel, the Bible is not true. That is why he's after Israel so bad. That's why we need to realize how important Israel is. Now, in Romans, I know Pastor Brian taught on this a lot. Romans 11, 26 to 27, it says, what is going to happen to Israel? Do you remember what that says there? What is going to happen to Israel? All right. I'll ask you this. All Israel be saved. Do you believe that that's talking about the nation or every peoples of Israel being saved? Huh? The people? You think all the people will be saved? That's where we can debate on that. And I kind of feel like that means that all Israel, the whole nation, will be saved. But I'm not sure. That feels like everybody. That'd be great if every one of them were saved. But what I kind of connect up with here is that the state of Israel will be. Okay, that's why that. See, this is when you study this, everybody gets a little bit different interpretation. And why is it so important that God, according to Romans 11, 26, God reports the fact that talks so much about the covenant there in verse 29. And but what does it mean when it says my covenant? Romans 11, 27, and 29. We talked about this last week. What does it mean when it says my covenant? Mary? It cannot be broken. I mean, if they do wrong, it cannot be broken. I know that a lot of people don't understand that, but that's the way God has it set up. And so his covenant will always be that he will bring Israel back together. Do you realize how far they've scattered from Israel all over the nations? It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that God would keep his covenant with these Israelites. And a lot of them aren't even Christians. You know? And so God's going to keep his covenant. So if Satan can destroy Israel completely like they're trying to do now, and they've been trying to do it ever since they became a nation. Did you have something to say? So that's where you think that maybe that all of them will be. I hope they're all saved. I hope they're all saved. But that's what God, the covenant is so important for us to understand what it is. God's covenant will not be changed. And praise God, Satan wants to destroy that. And when we realize the Bible was written by all Jews. Is written by all Jews. And when you get to thinking about that, and I want to bring out the fact that, turn to Isaiah 6 through 10. Isaiah, I might have to put this thing down here. Huh? Yeah, it's Isaiah 11, 6 through 10. I'm sorry, thank you for correcting me. 11, 7. This is wonderful. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. That's interesting. And a suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, it says there, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. I don't know what they are, but they're something bad. They shall not hurt nor destroy any in my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. That's why I don't learn all about computers, because I'm going to get all that knowledge then. And when God just gives it to me. At the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for the ensign of the people. To it shall be the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. All right, this is showing the fact that God is going to rule and reign, and there is going to be peace on this earth. And that's hard for me to imagine. Now, the last two things, I want to go to Micah 4. 4:3-4, and then 8 verse. And he shall judge many people and rebuke strong nations that afar off, and they shall beat the swords and plowshares and their spears into pruning hook. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall there be learn war anymore. I can't even begin to imagine, folks, what that's heaven on earth. That's heaven on earth. And it says here, note the similarity of this passage in Isaiah 2:2-4. In these verses, Micah described the blessings of the millennial kingdom. Despite the certainty of God's judgment, the last days would bring a time of peace and justice. The temple would be rebuilt. That I don't understand about the temple, but it's going to be rebuilt. Because that's where Antichrist goes in and offers the pig on the altar, and so there has been a temple there. And I've heard, I don't have proof right now, but I have heard that they've got the stuff ready to build the temple. And also, I heard one prophecy teacher talking about they're building a railway from what's the name of the town that where, Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. To where they can take the sacrifices and things to worship in the temple. That's going on now. This is what I have heard. I don't have the proof before me. But anyway, we are promised peace. And I cannot even begin to think what that's like. But Micah 4:1-8. I'm going to just read to save on time. You can read that. It's Micah 4:1-8. 1-8. Micah describes the blessings of the millennial kingdom despite the certainty of God's judgment. The last days would bring a time of peace and justice. The temple would be rebuilt, and Messiah would justly judge among many people from his throne in Jerusalem. Peace would exist between nations, and they would no longer know any war. Fear would be a thing of the past. Now, can you imagine that? No fear. And the kingdom of David would be reunited and restored under the glorious reign of the Messiah. You know, that's going to happen too. The 12 tribes of Israel and all that, that's coming back together. And I don't know how God's going to do it, but he's going to do it. So I want to turn to the last verse, Revelation 12:5. I just thought this was so interesting. So, folks, do you believe we're going to have a heaven on earth? Do you believe it? Well, shout. Heaven on earth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Revelation 12:5. Now, we read from another part, I think it was chapter 19, and I was surprised to see this. These are kind of the same words. 12:5. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations. There that is, with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. All right? I've got to read you the footnotes on this. This is just absolutely, and we just have time for this, and then we'll close. This remark, and he mentioned several other what people believe, and I go along with his teaching on this. This remarkable vision of a woman has, well, I don't want to read that part down here. The only tenable interpretation is to identify this woman with the nation of Israel. Now, over in Hosea, it talks about Israel being a woman. If you read the book of Hosea, it's an interesting book to read. And anyway, they were always referred to as a woman. To identify this woman with the nation of Israel, in other passages of Scripture, Israel is referred to as a woman, especially in regard to her relationship with God. And that's in Hosea 2:2-13, if you want to look it up. That the woman is clothed with the sun may refer to those of Israel who believed in their Messiah. Note that the 12 stars correspond to the 12 tribes. The woman gives birth to a male child. Who is this male child? Jesus Christ, the Messiah. John's vision then describes a spiritual war extending over 1,000 years as Satan tries to destroy the Messiah, will someday annihilate him. Though Christ returned to heaven, he went away, God will protect the woman for the length of the great tribulation until Christ returns at Armageddon to destroy the Antichrist. Praise the Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. Now, you know we read in Revelation 19, Christ will rule with the rod of iron. And so we're reading here where he will rule with the rod of iron. And we know all through the Bible the different ways Satan has tried to destroy Jesus Christ. And when he went to the cross, he tried to do that. When Jesus was praying in the garden, I've often thought when he said, Father, if it be, you can let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And I personally believe that Jesus, he was ready to go ahead and die. I think that he was trying to talk God into letting him die there. Because, you know, it talks, you do a study on his sweating like great drops of blood and all that sort of thing. But he said, not my will, but your will be done. And I tell you what, he didn't seem like a conquering Christ then, did he? Even the disciples didn't even believe it when they came to tell him that he had risen from the dead. They still would not believe it. And folks, God didn't put them down for it. He lifted them up. But we have this promise. We're going to rule and reign with our Lord and Savior. And we're going to have peace on this earth. Now, Arnold Newton will be bringing out what's going to be heaven about the new heaven and new earth. And I'm not even going to touch that with the 10-foot pole. But but anyway, praise God, we have this promise. And Satan's been trying to destroy Jesus from the, well, it starts in Genesis, I think, chapter 3, isn't it, when it started. And he could not do it. Praise God. And don't let the devil destroy your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on him and trust him. No matter what you've done, get rid of it, repent, make it right with God. You can always do that. This is where we have problems, and I think that's more what we're going to be judged on during the Beam of Judgment, is the fact that we did not repent of our sin and try to do better. We didn't do that because it's going to be my way or else. You know, your spirit says that. It talks about that. And I believe that that's what's going to be go forth in the Beam of Judgment more than anything else. But I want the Beam of Judgment. I want the Lord to be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. It doesn't say the others get to enter into the joy of the Lord, but it says we that have been faithful do. Now, you take that from where you want to take it. I don't know how God's going to take care of that, but I want him to tell me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Praise God. Let's all stand. I hope your faith has been built up and you understand a little bit more about the millennial kingdom. And we are going to rule and reign with Christ our Lord and our Savior. Now, Father, as we go from this place, we pray that this will become more real to our hearts and lives because you are coming soon. And Lord, we're looking forward to this rapture of the church that you have promised us. We thank you, Lord, for your promises. And we praise you, Lord, because we're going to see you soon. And let us, Lord Jesus, do the works that you have called us to do. Lord, help us to know what God wants us to do and get out there and do it. And Lord, teach us how to repent. Teach us how to get along with one another. These are the things that we're going to be judged about. And Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you, Lord, for your word. And be with this congregation as they go forth tonight into their homes and let them grow in you, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.